Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And they, some people, were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch the children. And the disciples rebuked those who were doing the bringing. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took the children in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. I remember my mother saying one time about someone whom we knew quite well that this father and mother gave everything possible to their children except Jesus. Except Jesus. It is possible to take care of our families and to supposedly give them everything. 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 We don't really have a Sunday of the church year where we celebrate God, the Creator. We have lots of them for God, the Redeemer. Certainly, Good Friday and Easter following comes up for that, and the Holy Spirit who gives us new life and restores us on Pentecost and all of what wraps up in our baptism. But as we think about the sanctity of life, we really emerge into a world that a lot of people do not want to hear anything about. That we're not here by chance. We're not here by chance. It's not as if 14 some billion years ago, some very compact form of matter of energy exploded, and that gradually things trickled along until about 4 billion years ago, our planet was formed, and then finally life comes in the oceans and crawls onto the ground. That really is, in its final analysis, a way to try to make sense of all of it and to use our minds the best we can. But no matter what we can observe about the life that we have here on this earth, God has not given us a big enough brain to understand that he is the Creator and Lord of all of it. If what I just said as a scenario really is true, then there would have never been a time when the creation would have fallen into sin. And if there was never a time when the creation would have fallen into sin, but that the creation just kind of keeps going without any interruption, without any injection of a spirit from God, then finally there would be no way that we would need a Savior. And then, as Paul says, of all people, we are most to be pitied, for we believe that there is something more yet to come. And certainly there have been wonderful insights that have come about how our world works and how it exists and how it functions. And I've been always very interested in learning everything I can about that, the little bit that that is. But I remember as my brother presented at the Paler Lecture a couple of years ago, he pointed out how from the most microcosmic part to the whole massive universe as a whole, there are still many questions at every single point and great disagreements, because none of us really have enough to understand the whole picture. How can it be that there was a God that existed forever, that there is a God that exists forever, that there will be a God that exists forever, that there is something so amazing and massive as a personal power that never had a beginning and will never have an end. There is no way our mind can wrap around that. How can it possibly be that that Creator and Lord over the billions of galaxies and billions of stars in each one could care enough about one little planet around what they describe as a medium-sized star at one end of the Milky Way, that one, that Creator, who by the breath of his mouth, by speaking, creates everything, would invade this world to fix it, to restore it, to say there's something so wrong in our hearts. We who were built to love that Creator with all our heart and soul and mind, that he would invade a world that has no concept of who he is and would be put to death by people who only know that he's different, and that somehow he would be able to do another recreative moment in the waters of baptism in the power of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit to put those little creatures on that little planet into a peaceful relationship with him for all eternity, to make us able to live forever as was intended. It is not the question about whether there is a God, not even the question about whether that God loves us. It's finally a question about, do we see ourselves as creatures, as little ones who are really here because of someone else? Our bodies don't belong to us. They're not really on loan, but they are a gift to us to take care of, to use. So that when our mom says, wear your gloves, we do that because we know that in our climate, if we don't, we'll crack our skin and hurt our hands, and yet we often rebel. No surprise that we who would rebel against taking care of our bodies properly would rebel against that Creator and Lord. Because in our foolishness as little children, sometimes who never grow up, we don't always know how to follow. We don't always know what it means to be in a proper, holy, settled relationship. And our Lord says, every one of us is to be like a little child, recognizing that most of what we have is a gift entrusted to us. The gift of life, the gift of eternal life, the gift of living on this earth, not looking inward at ourselves, but looking for how we can be a gift to others, because God has given us the gift of life and forgiveness and peace. It's really hard to understand in our day and age, where we really do in this country value children and do so much for them. I mean, can you find a week that goes by in the news when someone doesn't say, we have to do something to improve education in this country? I don't know why, but it seems no matter what we do, it's hard to get that to happen, where everybody really develops the gifts that they have. Well, it's because there are competing powers, there are competing things that are going on. But here, in this day and age, we value children, in fact, in many ways, put them right in the center of what we do. But it was not so in the time of Jesus. And there are so many different stories about so many different eras of how children were either seen as nothing or as in the way. to understand that our Lord says, I want them close to me. Judaism learned already that the males who were to be responsible in their families were brought into the community already on the eighth day. It was not something just to say they were off and it didn't matter. And yet, when the people come to bring their children to Jesus to have him bless them, there are those, the disciples, who fight it. And we find that that's the story about the disciples all the way through. Why bother with them? That's not part of my world. Why bother with them? And the disciples, who foolishly think they're about big business and they're really involved and they're central, trip and fall and stumble again and again and again and again, all the way through the Gospel of Mark. They don't get it. And our old nature doesn't get it either. That something is so wrong with us that we all need to be fixed, whether we're 3 or 30 or 90, that there's something so wrong inside of us that we are curved in on ourselves and cannot help it. And that our God does not leave us to be individuals, but makes us part of a Christian community now. A community where our Lord says to us as well, let the children come to me and don't hinder them. Don't get in the way. Don't find ways to keep them away from that love and that forgiveness and that worship and that life. He's not talking to the kids, he's talking to the adults who may find their own way to do things, to all of us, to make sure that we provide for a Christian family here too, that every one of us see ourselves as a little child. So it's not only don't hinder them, don't hinder yourself. Don't find ways to say, I'm going to keep Jesus at a distance, or that's fine for heaven, doesn't matter now. Because the forgiveness of our Lord, that he died on the cross to ransom us, as Mark talks about it, and deliver us from our brokenness and restore us to his family, means that we grow up to stay children. We grow up to say, someone else knows better than we do about how to live out our lives. We are not here just because we chose to be here. We are here because we've responded to the Holy Spirit's urging to gather together, to worship and to praise and be part of a Christian family and work together so that every one of us is important, every one of us counts, every one of us needs to find our place within this Christian family, where sometimes we're the grown-up caring for someone else and sometimes we're the little kid where someone cares for us. Our Lord, who knows how easy it is for us to wander and go astray, how easy it is to make up our own decisions about what's important and who's important. And he says, look at every single human you've ever seen as someone I died for. Look at every human being that you have ever seen and find a way, if you can, to pour my forgiving love on their heart. Because you see, the Lord is in the business of making grown-ups into kids, not making kids into grown-ups. To make grown-ups into kids who know very little, except that there is a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father who sent our beloved brother Jesus to make sure that our path throughout all eternity is at peace with him. And thus, let us be those who, in every way that we can hand out that good news in word and in deed and encourage everyone that we can so that they do not hinder themselves and others from hearing that good news, from being fed with the Lord's body and blood, celebrating their baptism, and knowing a peace that comes from being children of the Heavenly Father. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.